and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Needed amendment simply gives parents the right to write a letter to the school principal to have their child referred to by the pronouns and title the parents and child want them to be addressed by. If we truly want to give parents rights and we want our children to be healthy, safe, and prosperous, then we need to give parents and students the right to choose how they will be addressed. And this amendment will do that.
So this is House Bill 1069, debate on the House floor about this. That's Representative Jennifer Harris explaining that she wants an amendment to the bill that would allow parents to write a letter to the school and basically say, you know, I know my child was born a male, but, you know, that my child wants to be identified as a female, so use female pronouns, right? That's the idea, is to affirm the parental rights for what that child will be addressed by. Of course, the bill itself stands in exactly the opposite direction. The bill specifically says that the policy of every K-12 educational institution in the state of Florida is going to be that a person's sex is an immutable biological trait. That means unchangeable, cannot be distorted, and that it is false to ascribe a person a pronoun that does not correspond to their sex. That's from the bill itself. And then it says, you know, you cannot be required as a condition of employment to use people's preferred pronouns. You're not supposed to ask people's preferred pronouns. You're not supposed to offer them, if you're the teacher, your preferred pronouns. We're just going to have a not a pronoun-free environment, because you're still going to use pronouns, just going to use the ones that you were born with, not the ones that you identify with today. So that was the amendment. Michelle Raynor Goolsbee, who herself is gay, she's married to a woman.
I appreciate you standing up for all parents in the state of Florida, all parents to make the decision to have self-determination for them and their children. So, members, since we are in the Thunderdome of Freedom, since we're in the Thunderdome of Freedom, the free state of Florida, this amendment should be voted up on. Thank you again.
These are phrases that have been used by Republican representatives, particularly in some cases Governor DeSantis himself, you know, talking about the free state of Florida. And that's getting thrown back in Republicans' faces during conversations like this one. Anna Eskamani, another very outspoken Democrat.
Please, when you preach about parents' rights, think about the parents in my district who have trans kids. And those kids are not going to be safe if they get misgendered consistently. And so I just want to support this amendment and encourage folks to consider it.
Why would that make them unsafe? Well, the argument is that children who have gender dysphoria and already are prone to depression and or self-harm, that if you make them feel othered, if you make them feel like they're not accepted as who they believe themselves to be, then you're making them unsafe. The slightly more extreme version of that argument is that you are creating a culture of hostility towards trans kids, and therefore you are creating a culture in which bullying or violence might be the result. I think the Democrats in the House would embrace that same argument. Another outspoken Democrat, Ashley Gant.
Pronouns not even defined in the bill. So this gives parents the choice and the ability to raise their children according to how they want to. So thank you for this amendment. And I encourage everyone to vote up.
And Jennifer Harris, the amendment sponsor, I think she is anyway. Yeah, she says,
we sit here in this chamber and we talk about parental rights. But we're not talking about parental rights for all parents. We have an example right here. We're not talking about Rep. Nixon's parental rights. We're only talking about protecting the parental rights of the people that this body agrees with.
Angela Nixon, I believe one of her children is transgender, if I remember correctly. Some of these folks, I don't know them all that well, so keeping track of their personal details is a little bit hard. But this was the follow-up to that from Rep. Harris.
It's not the job of the state to dictate how children should be addressed or dictate to parents how they should address their children or how their children should want to be addressed. It's not the job of the state or schools, especially if it goes against the wishes of the parents. This is, and I'm sorry to say this, this is textbook example of government overreach. My conservative father will be so proud to hear me up here defending the values, the conservative values that he tried to instill in me.
Well, like all of the things related to this topic of gender identity, gender orientation, of, you know, transgender surgeries and hormone therapy. This is a different bill than that one, but that same kind of question which has come up is, there is no neutral ground. You can't, there's no such thing as neutral ground. You can't call them, you know, if somebody's born a male and you call them a he, that's offensive to this group. And if they're born a male and you call them a she, that's offensive to the other group. That's incompatible with their way of speaking and thinking about the world. And so you have an incompatibility here. There's no alternate. You know, can't just go with they, because that's feeding the narrative too. So somebody's got to make a decision about how the schools are going to operate. And with Republicans in the majority, this is the choice being made, because we don't believe this is an appropriate way to be describing people. But you hear, you know, obviously a lot of very high emotion, very passionate argument on the other side. And, you know, I wanted to give you a chance to hear their arguments. There's even stronger ones coming up here in just a second. We'll deal with that right after Candy gives you a really fun, kind, everything's easy this morning. Oh, there's been some genuinely horrible things happening.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a busy, busy morning, of course. Fatality, Mobile Highway in Buckingham. Truck versus bicyclist. Emergency crews on scene. It says westbound, but it's southbound. It's a Highway 90 right there. The lanes are shut down. Very, very slow near Woodsy's at Marlene and Mobile Highway. Somebody on scene directing traffic. Davis Highway in Fairfield in front of the Shell station. Accident there. And another accident just on the other side of Fairfield, close to the on-ramp for I-110 northbound. Southbound Woodbine and Pace backed up past Pace Water System. And on Highway 98 in Gulf Breeze, East Bay Boulevard and Highway 98. Westbound, an accident not showing a roadblock. Certainly if you see something or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the House floor discussion about this bill, HB 1069, which, by the way, this bill is very interesting. Some of the things that it changes what you do with a book when it gets challenged. You know, this is part of the parental rights expansion from last year, K-3 up to K-8. And part of it has to do with book, you know, objections. Now, if a book is objected to, it gets put in reserve status until it's dealt with. This would change that to be removed until it's considered acceptable. Another one, and the school board the other day was talking about this too, because they're in a quandary of, well, if this bill passes, it changes kind of everything they're doing with books. So they don't know what to do. Like, do we keep going forward with these book reviews, even though this bill could completely change how we do that stuff? Another one, and this is very fascinating, is one of the methods for the parents who object to certain content in the school books. When they show up at the school board meeting, they have been trying to read the objectionable passages as if to say, you see how bad it is, you won't even let us read it. And the school board has said, no, you're not allowed to read that. Well, this bill would say to the school board, you either have to let the parents read from the school books or from the library materials that you're considering. Sorry, not instructional materials, but from the library. Or if you won't let them read from it, then you have to get rid of the book, because that means the book should be gotten rid of. So just kind of some interesting nuances in the bill. Back to the discussion on the House floor about various slices of this HB 1069. One of them, and I think this is a fair concern, is that it creates a one-way attorney's fees to pay plaintiffs who decide to sue the school board over the inclusion of materials. I think this is a reasonable concern, is that there are going to be frivolous lawsuits connected to this. Robin Bartleman.
We've been told over and over and over again how one-way attorney's fees are the driver behind frivolous litigation. It's what incentivizes frivolous litigation. I don't believe it is the intent of the sponsors of this bill to incentivize frivolous book banning.
Yeah, no, I think that's part of the problem with it. That's one of the things in this bill that I would try to amend out or change. I don't see the value of having all of the sort of the foundation for filing these lawsuits against the school district. But then you come to Michelle Rayner-Goolsbee, who I said already, she's a lesbian, she's married, and she offered an amendment to get rid of, there's one line in current statute that, you know, is kind of interesting, because what it says is you have to basically, in the schools now, You're supposed to teach abstinence from sexual activity outside of marriage as the expected standard for all school-age students while teaching the benefits of monogamous heterosexual marriage. That's in law right now. And she offered an amendment to change that. I'll let her explain it.
Representative Rainer Goolsbee, will you recognize to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this is really just striking out the word heterosexual when it comes to monogamous marriage. I think that any marriage that anyone should be in should be monogamous, especially if we are the Thunderdome of freedom, we are the Thunderdome of family values, all of the things that we say that we profess. And that is the amendment.
We're the Thunderdome of everything. I mean, we're the Thunderdome of anything you want us to be, right? Just ask Tina Turner. We're there.
So I'm going to be very, very clear with y'all. Those who vote up, who vote down on my amendment.
By the way, to vote down would mean to keep heterosexual monogamous marriage as the standard that the schools are going to teach and enforce that, and you know, encourage. That's what she's saying. We ought to get rid of that word heterosexual in that line.
You can miss me because you've already told me what you thought about me and my marriage. You don't need to say, I'm going to get like my good sis Megan Hunt from Nebraska. You don't need to say hi to me. You don't need to talk much to me because what you're telling me in this moment, the essence of this bill, the essence that I do not matter, your marriage is more important than mine. It doesn't matter if you've been married 100 times or what you've done with your partner or not done with your partner. That is what you're telling me in this moment. And I will not forget it. Because my wife is the queen of petty, but I'm also very petty as well. I will not forget that. I
hadn't noticed.
So the essence of this bill, you have said the quiet part out loud. You have said that people who love like me do not matter, and our marriages do not matter. And I and the people of Florida will remember that.
A lot of mic thrown in the last couple of days.
They wouldn't do that if they had, you know how expensive they are.
Yeah, that's right. If they knew how expensive those mics were, right? Lauren Book had done it the other day. So anyway, just wanted to give you a little peek inside what's happening inside the State House these days on all of these social issues, right? And that's where we're at. And I will say this, just as a kind of an overall note, you know, my side's winning these arguments because we have the numbers, okay? My side is winning. A lot of the things that make sense to me are getting done. But I will also recognize this, and I think this is an important thing for people who like what's happening in the State House to acknowledge. What's the rule about a monopoly? Monopolies are bad because when there's a monopoly, it creates higher prices and inferior products, right? That's why we're against monopolies, okay? 75% control of the State House is effectively a monopoly. And one of the problems that I have been seeing in listening to all of these conversations is a lot of good bills are being offered. But there's also a lot of bad bills or bills that are okay with bad provisions that are going through because the Republicans don't care what the Democrats have to say. Now, they don't have to care. They have all the power. But what happens when you have a little bit more balanced State House is you have to build coalitions and persuade the opponent. And, you know, you have to be smarter in your legislation, basically. And I'm seeing bills go through with provisions that I think are insane. Because the Republicans don't really have to play the game. They can just vote down all the amendments and say no. Now, every once in a while, they'll agree to a good one. But I'm just saying, one of the problems with having so much overwhelming majority power in the State House is that we're passing less good legislation because we don't have to really listen to the objections of the other side. That's a problem for good governance. 723 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
You're listening to Strength for Life.
If you don't have a church home, I'm inviting you to join us at North Stone Baptist for our Easter Sunday services. Join us Sunday morning, April 9th at 10:30 a.m. as we consider what the Bible proclaims about Jesus conquering death. Also, I invite you to join us for our evening service at 6 p.m., in which our church will provide an Easter cantata. Our choir will sing, and performers will present the message of Easter. It will be a great day for the whole family, full of honoring Christ. Jesus' resurrection is literally a life and death issue. Christ has conquered death through his resurrection, and he is worthy of our worship. North Stone Baptist Church is located on the northwest side of Pensacola. Our address is 2550 West 9 Mile Road. Again, join us Easter Sunday, April 9th, at our 10:30 service and for our 6 p.m. Easter cantata as we together worship our risen Savior. We hope to see you there.
I'm Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. UWF will be celebrating Founders Week from April 15th to April 20th, and we invite community members and alumni to join in on the festivities. Join Anna Marie Mixon and President Martha Saunders on the Pensacola Expert Panel to learn how you can join us. Tune in today at 9 a.m. to learn more. That's today on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
I've been collecting watches since around 2018. Made my first big purchase thinking that was going to be my only watch. When you're looking at watches and you're doing them online, or if you're in the secondary market, it can be scary because there's a lot of fakes. And I really do focus in on coming into an authorized dealer like Bray's for any of the Omega or Breitling purchases. They will let you try it on, take pictures, go home, think about it, and just really set your mind at ease.
Come visit us at Bray Jewelers.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops, and they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Dad, oh, he got all of that one. He's got to be pleased with that. The crowd is just on his feet here.
Just a quick note here, talking about all these books and which books are acceptable or not. Somebody texted me a picture of the Anarchist Cookbook, which is this old, old, old book about how
we
to make
that
booby traps
school.
And all kinds of explosives and, you know, all kinds of stuff. And we used to think
idea.
It was so cool because you can go look at this, you know. Anyway, he texted, so should this be in the school? I mean, it is informational.
And all, no.
No, the answer is no.
Absolutely not.
And all I could say back, though, to him is like, you're so clearly my people. Because my kind of people would raise that exact question. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Oh, my gosh. Lots going on this morning. Mobile Highway in Buckingham. Fatality. This happened before the show started. Truck versus bicyclist. Emergency crews still on scene. I believe somebody's still directing traffic. All of the southbound lanes are shut down close to Woodsy's, which is Marlane and Mobile Highway. But that's what that slowdown is. Maybe avoid the area if you can. Davis Highway in Fairfield in front of the Shell station on the corner. Accident there. And then another accident on the other side of Fairfield, close to the on-ramp for I-110 northbound. Southbound Woodbine backed up past Pace Water System. Highway 98 and Gulf Breeze showing an accident. This is westbound at East Bay Boulevard. I'm not showing a roadblock, which doesn't mean there isn't one. But certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Oh, somebody texted in and said, you know, with teachers having so many responsibilities, education, right? Safety and not getting shot and all the stuff that they have to deal with. Can we maybe just decide that pronoun of the day issues for 20 or 30 different kids in a classroom can go by the wayside? And says if a parent wants something unique for their child, perhaps homeschooling is their answer. Confusing my child and others who are pronoun confident. That's a great phrase. Seems out of bounds for a professional who's called to teach math and reading, etc. Yeah, you know, look, for, you know, I'll say it this way. People who have weird beliefs, and I put myself in that category. I know I have a lot of weird beliefs. We decided to homeschool in part to avoid the problems of the public school system. It just is. If you don't like the way your trans kid is being dealt with in school, homeschool. That's always an option, right? Or you could try to bend the entire universe to cater to your one kid. Just saying, there are some options here. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, those storms that tore across the plains and Midwest earlier this week are going to be hitting the East Coast today with drenching rain all the way from New York to South Carolina. Two men have died after a plane crash in the Gulf of Mexico. That happened last night off the coast of Sarasota County. Police believe there could be more victims. Divers are still searching. And final test results are in for Pfizer's experimental RSV vaccine. They say it was 82% effective in preventing severe infections in infants when given to expecting mothers in the second half of their pregnancy. The drug maker says trial details that were published this week confirmed preliminary data from the study.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. You know, I keep trying to kind of obliquely mention when it comes up that Molly Barrow's a huge get for the PNJ because she's just a fantastic news lady. She's, I mean, she's a fantastic person anyway.
She should run for president. I love her.
She is the best, genuinely. So she's got another article out about the Pensacola Grand Hotel. Like, what's going on with the Pensacola Grand Hotel? And basically, first of all, I did not realize, but as soon as she said it in the article, it's true. The 15-story hotel is the tallest building in the city.
Is it really?
I know, right? You don't think about it. Why? I don't know that why. Seville Tower right. used to be, but no. She says the tallest building in the city, 15 stories, and they're basically doing nothing right now. They're doing nothing. We don't know the future. But there hasn't been work done in a long time. And, you know, I think you start to ask good questions about, you know, well, what can we do? You know, if they're not going to fix it up, there's a lot of good parking there, you know, all these issues, and that's obviously a very important
the history,
hotel.
The train station.
Right. Yeah, all of
bar,
that
bar, restaurant,
stuff.
All of that, yeah.
Anyway, good article about it in the PNJ by Molly Barrows.
You're wasting good Pensacon space.
That's exactly
killing
right.
me.
What do you have coming up, David?
Some reaction from a victim of Matt Banks after this.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. A congressional delegation in Taiwan for meetings despite China's bluster over a visit by the president of Taiwan, hosted by House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who praised the U.S. relationship with Taiwan.
I believe our bond is stronger now than at any time or point in my lifetime.
The French president meets with his Chinese counterpart, the two nations signing deals in both nuclear and wind energy during a state visit by President Emmanuel Macron to China. Holy Week for Christians around the world. Pope Francis leads the first of two major ceremonies, this from a mass earlier at St. Peter's Basilica. The 86-year-old Pope discharged from the hospital 5 days ago after battling bronchitis, delivered a long homily. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31. News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 72 degrees. It is partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. A contractor accused of stealing millions of dollars from at least 150 different victims has now been indicted by an Escambia County grand jury on contractor fraud charges. Matt Banks was booked into the Escambia County Jail yesterday. The investigation into Banks and another local contractor, Jesse Lacoste, has been ongoing now for several months. State Senator Doug Broxton says a complicated licensing process made everything more difficult.
I would think we would maybe consider just having one license that would be both county and state. It would involve the state much quicker. The Attorney General had to invite the agencies into the case.
And Broxton talked with Channel 3. Prosecutors say the victims may never get their money back. One of those alleged victims, Jenny Anderson, says she lost $40,000 on a kitchen remodel. The Banks never started.
Yeah, we knew a long time ago that the chances of us recovering our funds were slim to none. And we made a decision that our efforts in this were to try and keep it from happening to other victims.
Matt Banks' trial date will be set at his next court appearance later this month. And a man was killed and a woman in critical condition today after a motorcycle crash on Pensacola Beach. Now, this happened on Fort Pickens Road near the Margaritaville Hotel. Florida Highway Patrol says the driver, a 23-year-old Pensacola man, lost control of the motorcycle going around a curve, then hit a curb. A 21-year-old passenger was life-flighted to an area hospital. Right now, we don't have an update on that woman's condition. The city of Pensacola still looking for help with the naming of their newest trio of street sweepers. They're holding an online contest. Mayor D.C. Reeves and city staff reviewing all the submissions to see who could come up with the best and the most creative names. We got an update on that contest yesterday.
We've received over 500 submissions. Each of those submissions has three names on it. So we've received over 1,500 names so far.
And the name ideas need to be submitted online at the city website. They're going to be picking six finalists, and those will all be voted on by the public. The deadline for submissions is April 14th. A 12-year-old boy was taken to the hospital after being hit by a vehicle while riding a skateboard yesterday. Now, this happened about 3:45 at 8th Avenue and Wright Street. Pensacola police say the boy was riding a skateboard when he was hit by a vehicle and seriously injured. Officers say the driver stopped and was cooperating with police. As of the last report, there were no charges against the driver. Police are still investigating that crash. Three people hurt in a drive-by shooting that happened on Peace Street in West Gadsden just before 8 o'clock yesterday. PPD says the three victims' injuries appeared to be non-life-threatening. Officers say no suspect in the shootings has been identified at this time. If you have information, contact Crime Stoppers. It is 7:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get an update on your traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right, taking a look around. There's a lot going on this morning, of course. Be careful. East Bay Boulevard and Highway 98 showing a vehicle crash in Gulf Breeze. And I'm not showing a roadblock. That doesn't mean there isn't one. Certainly, if you know, let me know. And that is westbound. Still watching that accident, a fatality. This happened early this morning before the show even started. Mobile Highway in Buckingham. Fatality, truck versus bicyclist. Emergency crews still on scene, as I understand it all. Westbound / southbound lanes of Mobile Highway shut down. And this is close to Woodsy's at Marlene and Mobile Highway. But again, somebody in scene, I think, directing traffic. Davis Highway in Fairfield in front of the Shell station. Two vehicles, the accident, and it looks like that was blocked off in front of the Shell station on that way. And then another accident on the other side of Fairfield, close to the on-ramp for I-110 northbound. Southbound Woodbine still backed up past Pace Water System. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip or if you hear me say something and it's different now because stuff's moving, let us know. Text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We're going to be seeing a small chance of rain today, 10% chance of a stray shower. Highs today reaching the low 80s. As you go overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees, staying warm and humid. Warm, humid conditions last as you go into your Friday. We are going to be seeing a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms Friday with a high near 83. Friday night, temperatures in the upper 60s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson for the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 72, mostly cloudy in Pensacola. 73 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Our next news at 8. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Kishenko with Your Money Now. Ford is preparing to remove AM radio in most of its new and updated 2024 models. Despite concerns about drivers losing access to safety alerts broadcast over the airwaves, Ford says it's transitioning from AM radio and says many stations offer internet streaming through mobile apps, FM, digital, and satellite radio options. The Wall Street Journal reported in February that seven former FEMA administrators wrote to Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg and a few congressional committees asking for the federal government to seek assurances from automakers that AM radio will remain a feature in vehicles as it can deliver alerts from FEMA during natural disasters and extreme weather events. Facebook parent Meta has released a paper detailing its latest AI model that can segment different items within photos. The company says it released the Segment Anything model to foster research into computer vision. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a mixed open this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Get ready for an unbelievable Easter weekend with Marcus Point Baptist Church. Join with thousands for a Pensacola tradition at the Blue Wahoo Stadium, the community sunrise service. The worship begins at 6:15 a.m. as the sun rises over the Pensacola waterfront. The celebration continues at 6205 North W Street at 10 a.m. with Easter at Marcus Point, filled with powerful music and great events for the whole family. Easter will be unbelievable with Marcus Point.
Have you been thinking about getting fit but don't know where to start? Why not start at Running Wild? Running Wild specializes in fitting every person to the proper shoe, apparel, and training designed for their unique needs. An essential resource to the community on all things fitness related, Running Wild takes pride in serving, teaching, and encouraging customers to reach new goals. Start your fitness journey with the experts at Running Wild in Pensacola and Fairhope. Follow on Facebook or shop online at WeRunWild.com.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and we've got Mike Wood on the line. He is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. We've had a couple of pretty bad incidents, including a young person, a 12-year-old, hit while skating on a skateboard. Is that right?
Yeah, that was yesterday afternoon at 8th and Wright Street, where a 12-year-old male was struck by a vehicle. The driver of the vehicle immediately stopped. 911 was called, and officers and EMS got there very quickly. The individual was injured badly and was taken to the hospital immediately. So I don't have an updated any information on that individual, but we've seen this before, and you know, I did it. Lots of people did it. Skateboards on streets, and while it's a dangerous thing, folks they're going to do it. And I'll be glad when the skate park opens up and they have another place to go.
Well, I was just going to ask that exact question. Very good of the driver to obey the law and stop and take care of the person, which is you're obligated to do that. But I'm assuming he was actually skateboarding on the street, which you're not supposed to do, right?
Yeah, that from the information that I have, that's right. I don't have any information on if he was crossing the street or anything like that.
All right. Well, certainly our prayers for him, and it's just a reminder, watch out, because there's dangerous things on both sides, right? I mean, on both sides. We also had a drive-by shooting at P and Gadsden. Is that right?
Yeah, that was yesterday at the 600 block of P Street. Someone in a vehicle pulled up to this house, and there were individuals on the front porch. And they began shooting from the car, and three people, including a juvenile, were struck on the front porch. And fortunately, none of those injuries were life-threatening. So we're still working on that, looking for information on who the shooter was.
Just one person? I'm just trying to put it together in my head, because a lot of times what happens is there's, shooting from a car or something, and like nobody gets hit. Because look, if it's a car, if there's a distance to the house and then into the porch and then one person with a handgun, at those kind of distances, it's very hard to hit a person. Do we know anything that would explain? That just seems like a lot. I mean, it's horrible at all, but hitting three people in that circumstance seems unusual to me.
Yeah, well, we don't know if it was a single person doing the shooting or if it was multiple people, or that information has not been given to me. So, yes, it could have been more than one. But right now, we're taking information, any information that we can get on that.
Okay. And you said all non-life-threatening injuries, though. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
All right. Well, that is very good news. You also had a vehicle that was left running. I know it's your pet peeve. You talk about this all the time, but this was a little different case, right?
Yeah, this could have been a lot worse. It was a vehicle that was left running, and a child was in the car, and a person gained entry into the vehicle. Fortunately, the parents were nearby and were able to stop that individual from taking the car. A tag was obtained, and with the help of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, that vehicle was stopped and the suspect located a short time later. So it was a good ending to that, but it could have been much worse.
Wow. Yeah, thank goodness. Man, that could have been really, really horrible. I'd also wanted to ask you about the concealed carry changes that are not in effect yet, that go into effect July 1st. But is PPD doing anything different to take note of the situation where people that without a permit are now going to be carrying concealed at least some of the time? Have you had internal conversations about how that's going to affect your ability to do police work, or even whether, Chief thinks this is a good development in the law or a problematic development in the law?
Well, the officers have been briefed in lineup and roll call about this. They've discussed it about the new law. And again, it's new, so we're going to see where it takes us. But we just want everybody to be safe with weapons, to make sure that they are carried in a safe manner. Like I said, a couple of weeks ago, we had an individual in a bathroom at a bowling alley. The weapon somehow came out and discharged and shot a toilet inside a men's room. So, and there were hundreds of people inside this bowling alley at the time. So we just want everybody to that are going to carry, to make sure that they're carrying that weapon safely.
I know this will change come July 1st, but I'm curious what the law is now, and I don't know the answer to this. If you're a police officer and you see that, I inadvertently I have a carry and concealed carry, and I, you know, I'm bending over to pick something up, and it kind of pokes out. Now, the new law will, it specifically protects you from being arrested for something like that. There's a brandishing provision and all of that. But I'm just wondering, if you see that I have a gun as a cop, do you have the right to ask me to see my concealed carry permit, since that would be a violation of if I don't have one?
If it's concealed, yes, at this point in time. But again, that's about to go away. So that's something that we're all going to adjust to.
Yeah, no, and that's obviously it's going to change in July. But I just didn't know what the rule was on that. I figured the answer was yes, you could, but I didn't know for sure. Hang on for just a second. We're talking to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Big enough to get the job done, small enough to care. 250-3756 for a no-hassle estimate. And watching a lot on the road this morning. Mobile Highway and Buckingham fatality. A truck versus bicyclist. All westbound / southbound lanes of Mobile Highway shut down right now. It's kind of near Woodsy's at, which is Marlane and Mobile Highway, but that's where the slowdown is for the most part, but somebody on scene directing traffic, as I understand. Davis Highway and Fairfield, both in front of the Shell station and on the other side of Fairfield. Another accident, as I understand, close to the on-ramp for I-110 northbound. Southbound Woodbine backed up past Pace Water System. And Highway 98 and Gulf Breeze showing an accident on East Bay Boulevard westbound. Not showing a roadblock. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip or you hear me say something that's not right, let us know so we can pass it on. 437-1620 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mike Wood, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. One additional note is that the law, when it goes into effect July 1st, right now, the law is that if you have a permit, you must carry the permit along with you when you have the gun. But the new law says, obviously, you don't have to have a permit, but you still will need to have an ID on you so that police can check if they need to make sure that you're not, for example, disqualified by being a felon. Right, Mike?
Yeah, that's a whole different topic. So you still, no matter what, if you're a convicted felon, can't carry that
right.
weapon.
But you will still need to carry ID. Some people might not realize that's a part of the law, but that still is going to be in place.
Absolutely.
Kind of an interesting moment came up yesterday in our conversation with Mayor Reeves, where we're having this street sweeper name contest, you know, of course. And I had gotten I had seen somewhere or other that there was a comment that, you know, Kevin, like Kevin the Minion from Despicable Me, and that, you know, Kevin Christman kind of liked that comment. You know, he's the deputy chief. But I think you were going to weigh in on this also.
Well, you know, we got tied into it because of Deputy Chief Kevin Christman and people thinking that he had something to do with it. I can tell you that I checked with him yesterday, and he said that he did not have anything to do with that. But, you know, Kevin, you've got greats like Kevin Hart, Kevin James, Kevin Bacon, Kevin Costner, and NASCAR's Kevin Harvick. And I looked into it, and Kevin comes from Irish descent, and it means handsome. And if you don't think that a brand new street sweeper isn't handsome, then I don't know what to tell you. So, we are Team Kevin on that naming of that vehicle. And like I said, our Kevin says he had nothing to do with it.
All I took away from that is that you think Deputy Chief is handsome. Did I misunderstand?
Well, no, that's not what I said.
I'll second that.
You put me in a bad spot here. I was just giving you a little history on the name, Kevin. No personal feelings here at all.
Okay. I'm sure he's blushing. I'm sure he's not. Hey, we always like to end with a did you know or a why do they do that, or is that even a true thing for cops? You have one for me this week?
Yeah. Can you guess what the most difficult crime for detectives or police officers to solve is?
Oh, the most difficult crime for them to solve. Man, I mean, I have idea. I would think it'd be some form of, no, I don't know. I'm going to sound stupid making a guess. What is it?
It is burglary.
I was going to guess burglary. Go ahead.
All right. Well, see, you would have won. And maybe we would have named a street sweeper after you the next time around. But this one.
Andrew does not mean handsome, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This one, by the way, is, committing burglary, unlike committing a violent crime, is less likely to result in leaving identifying evidence at the crime scene. You know, they usually are committed to stealing items of value, and the victim's identity most of the time is not relevant. So, you know, a burglar may wear gloves to keep from leaving fingerprints, and he's less likely to leave blood at the scene. And they usually choose to burglarize unoccupied homes or businesses, which leaves no witnesses. So sometimes those burglars can be pretty tough to solve.
Wow. Yeah, makes sense. I wish I'd have guessed it. I can't really take credit when you don't try. All right. Mike Wood, he has the public. And, you know, also the things you see on TV for how you would, you know, the various forms of technology, like we talked about last week, are not quite as robust and rapid and easily available and free as, you know, you would see on TV. So that, I'm sure, keeps things a little bit more challenging to solve. Mike Wood, he is a public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you so much for the time and for talking to us today, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, and go Kevin.
Go Kevin. Oh, that's so funny. By the way, somebody sent me in. This is fascinating. They had asked ChatGPT for names of street sweepers.
That's so funny.
And I'm like, no, you did not. Okay, so here's what they got. They got Sweepster, Dusty, Bristles, and AI is giving us clever names for street sweepers. I
Are
mean,
they?
Not super clever, but, you know.
Keep reading.
Scrubby, Sparkle, Swiffer, Mr. Clean, Tidy Tim, Scrappy, Whisk. And then for the second street sweeper, Sweepette, Sweepy, Scrubberella. That's funny. Dustina, Tidy Tina, Broomhilda, Sweepaholic, Shiny Sheila. Shiny Sheila? That means something else. Anyway, Scrubby Sue, Brush Betty, and then the third one, Sweeptastic. These are a little bit not so innovative. Dusty Dan, Broommaster, Clean Sweep, Scrubbing Sam, Tidy Tom, Sweep King, Sparkling Steve, Brush Boss, and Grime Buster Gary.
And look at that, Kevin.
With a follow-up, I hope these suggestions help. Ah, ChatGPT is so so helpful. By the way, did you see this thing where ChatGPT misidentified a person in a as a mayor somewhere, where basically said that the mayor was a criminal, but the mayor had been the whistleblower on the crime, and now the mayor is threatening to sue ChatGPT for defamation, or the owners of the, like, how do you sue an AI for defaming you? It's weird, but, you know, these are the kinds of things that we're going to be dealing with. 751 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at newsradio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get the Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
Bueller. Bueller. Bueller.
It's classic rock, the Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay, doesn't that just burn your
I
butt,
know,
though?
It's I like, hate it.
Man.
That can't be right. That's not classic rock. It's not old. No, yeah, it is. 753 on News Radio 92.3. I got a funny note in from Deputy Chief Chrisman. He's like,
oh, the handsome guy?
Yeah, he says, I'm hey. Saying, we just named the street sweeper Kevin, and we can play 6 degrees of street sweeper Kevin.
That's great.
And he says, I'm super handsome in spite of my height, which he's my height. I said, you know, if ever it becomes your chance to become chief, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, Chief Randall retires or, you know, whatever. His slogan can be, I said this, Well, I should be chief after all. I've already been cleaning up these streets for years.
That's great, though. I can see that on a shirt.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. He's not laughing at me at all, which is fine. David, what's going on, sir?
Well, there's some new developments in that Virginia mall shooting we were talking about earlier this week. Prosecutors are now considering charging the 21-year-old YouTuber who got shot. You remember this? He was working on a prank video.
I watched some of his other, like, what he got in trouble. He was setting himself up for disaster by the way he was doing
absolutely
things.
Some of the YouTubers, the videos they do just bad. Well, prosecutors say that he was harassing and targeting the suspect in that food court. And then, of course, he was shot in the stomach. Now he's been released from ICU. The Masters Golf Tournament opens today in Georgia's Augusta National Golf Club. Tiger Woods scheduled to tee off here about 9 o'clock this morning. He'll be playing with Victor Hovland and Xander Schauffele. And today is National Burrito Day. The burrito, one of my favorites.
Right.
Both Chipotle and Taco Bell have some Burrito Day things. You can find out more on their social media pages. There may be some other local establishments that do too, but I don't know about all of those.
Those are vastly different burrito experiences, by the way.
Yes,
Chipotle
they are.
And Taco Bell.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's just say it, be honest. And all you're making me do is remember the, there was in Chicago, there was a place, it wasn't a place, it was like a region. We called it Burritoville, where you could go and get these massive, you know, head size burritos. And they had a place at Illinois, it was La Bamba, that had these giant burritos. And it was widely frequented right around bar closing time, you know, is that people would go get these enormous, you know, burritos as big as your head was their marketing slogan. And now all I do is I want one. Okay, fair enough.
Man, those were the days.
Yeah,
and
they were.
None of us could eat like that anymore.
When you could eat it and you didn't go into a coma or suffer consequences the day after or gain weight, right.
I have always believed the best burritos come from a truck.
No, yeah. Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Like your truck?
No, the food trucks, like the ones that
just
pop up outside of bars.
Banging at your door.
It's 3 in the morning.
On my engine block. That's why we call it street meat. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Thank you.
Okay,
so lots going on this morning. Mobile Highway and Buckingham. Fatality early this morning. This is before the show even started. Now, northbound lanes are shut down, very slow. Close to Woodsy's and Marlane and Mobile Highway is where with a slowdown is, and as I understand, somebody's on scene directing traffic, but northbound lanes are shut down. Davis Highway and Fairfield, both in front of the Shell station. And then on the other side of Fairfield, looks like another accident close to the on-ramp for I-110 northbound. Southbound Woodbine backed up past Pace Water System and East Bay Boulevard. Highway 98, this is in Gulf Breeze, and the accident is at East Bay Boulevard westbound. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. 757. Street meat can't go on. Okay. I believe this is true because it came to me from a good, reliable news source, but I had never heard this before. And anytime I've never heard a thing before, I'm always just a little bit skeptical about it. But this is such a cool story that it came from a really good source, military.com. They usually don't get things wrong. I didn't know this, and I wanted to share it with you. So McDonald's, obviously very well known for having drive-thrus. Right? They did not, like many things, McDonald's didn't create it. They just did it better than everybody else, right?
That's right.
So they were not the first one to have drive-thrus. And in fact, drive-thrus go back to In-N-Out Burger. Like 1948 was the first one to have the drive-thrus, I guess. But, you know, it never took off everywhere. And then some other places like Wendy's did it in Columbus, Ohio in 1969. Okay. But what happened with McDonald's is that in the 1970, I guess, is when this all happened. There was a McDonald's in Arizona, in Sierra Vista, and it was the mid-70s, 1975, and he noticed that all of a sudden it seemed like his business died off, like he was all of a sudden not selling as much, and it turns out that it was all of the military people, which was nearby Fort Huachuca, that they weren't coming in anymore, and he couldn't figure it out. And apparently there was like a change in regulation that if you were in your olive drabs at the times what they wore, that you weren't allowed to go into public places. and these particular soldiers were obeying that rule. And so he knocked a hole in the wall so that he could serve the military members without them having to come into the store.
Oh, that's great.
And so obviously big service to them on their limited time in their breaks or whatever that they could go somewhere. And obviously, you know, good for him for business. So, and then that just kind of took off. I mean, took off from there. Isn't that, I mean, I think that's a true story. Even if it's not true, I love the story so much. I really hope that it's true. That's such a great story about where we got drive-thrus from.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.